As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This is Issues 2022. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is veteran Wichita radio personality Jack Oliver. Welcome to Issues 2022, Jack.
Well, thanks. It's been a long time, Steve.
Yes, it is. Your current position is brand manager for KEYN. Is that correct?
That is true, yeah. No. You get to do that in the morning show.
How is that different from program director?
Well, years ago, program director, you just had to work with the music, you know, work with the promotions, work with all the people who worked with you, and do all those things, make appearances. Now it's all that plus. You get to do all the social media, and you get to do lots of different things with computers these days.
Yeah. The older we get, the more we get to do.
That's right. That's the way it works these days.
Fascinating. Well, now, you've been hosting that morning show on KEYN for, a couple of years now, since the death of our friend Don Hall. How do you like doing mornings, Jack?
You know, luckily I'm one of those people who have always woke up early in the morning. Yeah. So, but that one extra hour of getting up, where I used to always get up at, you know, 6 o'clock, 5:30, 6 o'clock, just naturally wake up. Getting up that 1 hour earlier does make a little difference, it seems like.
It does. You get used to it, though, you know.
Yeah.
You'll get used to it after about 40 more years. So how long have you actually been on the air, Jack?
On the radio, started back there in 69 and worked a few overnights at a commercial station with KLEO. And that was just while I was trying to find a job, because I had a first-class FCC license. In those days, you had to have an engineer with a first-class license to be on the air overnight. And luckily, I had one of those. It wasn't very good. I thought it was. You know, you always think you're really good when you start. But a couple of weekends there and stuff like that, and then got me a job and went out to your hometown of Dodge City.
Dodge City?
Uh-huh.
What was the station? What are the call letters out there?
KGNO.
Where was that studio? It was north of town?
Oh, yeah, it was out in the field. You know, the tower, the deal. Had a bomb shelter in it. Yeah, love that.
There you go. Now, my next question, all of your career in Wichita, obviously you've been to the big market of Dodge City.
Oh, yeah.
But then you got rescued or from there, came back to what? Would you come back to Cake?
Yes, came back over at Cake Radio. And
How did that work? How did you get there?
Yeah, it was one of those, I came back here and I was going, okay, what do I want to do? Do I want to go out and make money and work at Boeing? Or do I want to continue in radio? And my dad, who had just retired from Boeing, decided to move back to our farm down in Wynnewood, Oklahoma. And he said, why would you want to go to work out there? And I said, well, I want to make some money and do this and that. And he said, you'll hate it. I hated it. I worked there 15 years. And I said, why'd you do it? He said, I had money so you could eat. And he said, don't do it. Just keep doing the radio deal. So I went over and talked to the guys over at Cake and Gene Rump and them, and said, oh, yeah, this will work out good.
So Rump was there at the time then?
Yes.
Yeah. And what year was that been then?
71, 72, right in there. Yeah.
Okay, let's give us a little background on your childhood. You've given us some there about a farm in Wynnewood, Oklahoma. I wasn't really aware of that, but where did you actually grow up, and where did you go to school, Dad?
We moved up here to Wichita. Like I say, my dad decided to go to work at Boeing, couldn't make money farming in those days. And so we got up here in the mid-50s. And I ended up going over to Longfellow a little bit, elementary school, and then to Hamilton, and then to South High.
I probably ran into you when you were at Hamilton, and I was at Hadley.
That's right.
The Hadley Gymnasium, or the Hamilton Gymnasium,
was big.
Old, and it had a stage in the middle of the basketball floor. Right?
It did. It had a stage that would come up in the air.
Come up in the air about a couple feet.
And when you played basketball there, you'd bounce the ball and it wouldn't come up in your hand. That was one of our defensive specialties over there.
Trap them over to where
the ball would not bounce.
Also, down in the, it was a curtain or something down on the corner, that hung down a little bit over the corner of the court.
Of the court, because there was only like about 2.5 feet from the wall to the inbounds line. So, you know, trap you over in the corner, stand there. Yeah, we had it made, played a little defense on people.
It had some certain characteristics. And then you went to South. Now, you played what? At least two sports. You did basketball and baseball.
Basketball and baseball. Of course, played football early type of deal. I had to decide, it was funny, to either join the track team or the baseball team. Because I was a pole vaulter.
Oh, okay. And, I was going to say, you're so fast.
Yeah. And and I really liked pole vaulting.
Really?
It was so much fun because I had gone through a bamboo pole to a steel pole. And then one of our friends' dad found some money somewhere and got a fiberglass pole.
Wow.
By the time we were in ninth grade, and ended up second in the city in the meet there. And said, hey, you know, this is a lot of fun. And they finally were starting to get foam pits instead of just a big ball of sand to land in.
Yeah.
This would be great, but I love playing baseball.
I always thought there was something wrong with pole vaulters.
Yeah, there was. It was mental.
Was baseball a favorite or basketball?
What's that?
Baseball or basketball your favorite?
You know, in those days, it was whatever was seasonal was your favorite. You know, love playing
kids today specialize.
I know.
But in our day, we played all three or four, whatever.
Yeah, I'm one of those. I'm still a believer that kids should play all of them. I know and some people, it puts them a little behind with other ones that are very competitive. But I think, you know, you work at it when you're little like that, and then you find out what you really like, and then you go after it.
So when did you come to that realization that you probably weren't going to be a professional baseball or basketball player?
Oh, you know.
About 15, 16?
Yeah, probably about 17.
Okay.
You know, finally facing a few pitchers that wrote that. I learned to switch hit, same deal.
That's a good deal.
You know, the same thing is like, hey, I want to be like Mickey. Why not? And that helped out, you know, quite a bit and everything. But then it was like, there's other things to do. I got to get this done. You got to pay for college. I had to work my way through college. Had to do this or that. So, yeah. Mm.
So, and you did make it through college, got a degree, as I understand, right?
Well, two. Well, the funny part, you know, you started college in 1969, and I finally got out in 1980. Okay, so I did
11 year man.
I did persevere. A lot of people, it took 4 or 5 years, but I ended up getting
now, listen, that wasn't because you were dumb, right?
No, just it took me a while, yeah. But I ended up with a master's degree out of Wichita State. So.
You know, a lot of people do that. They have mm-hmm. work their way through.
Well, I figured I didn't learn anything those first 5 or 6, 7 years. So I decided if I didn't learn anything, I better go get a master's degree and get a little bit of knowledge in
there. What's a master's degree in?
It's in business communications, yeah.
Well, there you go.
So
let's go backtrack a little bit further now. When did you realize that you wanted to be on the radio?
Oh,
you grew up listening, I know. We all have the same story.
Listening, you know, I think the first guy, I'm trying to remember, you know, back when I first moved to Wichita, and it was actually KWBB back in those days, you know, and you think, oh, man, you know, that would be kind of a fun job. I was lucky enough, I had a brother who was 13 years older than me. And he was a custom car builder, and there's lots of car builders in Wichita.
Yeah.
And he worked with Daryl Starbird and worked with a guy named Dave Stuckey. And they were putting on car shows at the Forum downtown back in like 58, 59, 60.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we would go down, you know, and help, you know, we thought we were doing something really good, but really we were just cleaning the cars, you know. And but they brought in artists down there, and, you know, it's like Roy Orbison and the Rondells and people like that. And it was like, oh, and these disc jockeys would come in there and talk, you know, a little bit and do this and that. I said, that'd be a good job. And then as I was going through college, it's like, yeah, I could do play-by-play. And I was thinking in high school at that time, do the radio deal, work my way through college. Somehow I had to pay my way through school. So I said, you know, that would be a good job. So that's when I got the job in radio and stuff, playing records, and never got into play-by-play.
You know, we've talked before. That's what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to do play-by-play, and I got into the news side.
You know what really would always
you
happen?
You and I should just go get us a job doing radio, yeah. Play-by-play somewhere.
Well, it's one of the harder things to do in radio, because once a guy has that job, there's only one during those seasons, and they stick with those jobs. And so it's hard to kind of break into industry.
Now, but when I'm back to when you were growing up, personalities that you remember, one or two that
back then, there was a guy that was named Lee Nichols in town. And Lee's brother was Buddy Nichols. It ended up working at KFDI later on. But Lee was one of those first guys I heard on the radio back in the 50s. And I'm going, man, this guy's really good. And then you get through, in the 60s, of course, you had KLEO at that time. It was, you know, big station, lots of jocks. You know, Uncle Harv over there. And, you know, with... You know, so many of the guys, you know, Dave Chenault was one of them, Skinny Johnny Mitchell. I mean, so many of these guys, you know.
E. Alvin Davis.
Oh, yeah, Alvin. I still talk to E. Alvin today. Yeah, he lives in Cincinnati.
Still around. Yeah.
And he did well. But when they put on KEYN, which was 67, right?
67.
Yeah. One of my friends helped in there doing some of the electronic stuff while we were still in high school. And we go down there, and he was on the radio and stuff in high school. And it's like, man, this is a great job. What the heck? You know?
Is that before they signed on the FM? Or is it just...
Yes, that was just the AM, and just when they put the FM on. And we go down there, and, you know, it was in the old house on Central Street over
there.
And, and going in and out and all that type of stuff. So, yeah, I'll try this out. And I just, the heck?
You know, an explanation that the AM... radio in those days, that was a daytimer. It signed off at night.
Mm-hmm.
And AM radio, we got in AM radio, and it took years for FM to finally establish itself.
Well, it did. FM radio, and across the country, KEYN was the first top 40 station, which was west of the Mississippi River on FM.
Yeah.
You know, and it was just, you know, one of those amazing deals. And at that time, and I thought this was a brilliant promotion, the guys over there, there's a place in town called Space Age Stereo. You remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
And so the guys at the radio station there, they go over Space Age Stereo, and they say, hey, we'll advertise you. We want to give you these, what they called FM tuners. You could hook up to your radio in your car and listen to FM. He said, we've got 200 of these from Motorola. We'll give them to you to give away. And, of course, he advertised on the competitive station, KLEO. And so they were advertising on KLEO. Hey, come on over, you know, buy a four-track stereo for your car, and we'll give you an FM tuner so you can listen to KEYN.
Yeah.
I thought that was brilliant at the time. Hey, this is great. So
you're listening to Issues 2022 on the Odyssey radio stations. Our guest is veteran Wichita radio personality Jack Oliver. And, Jack, we got to watch it because this is going to get away from us. We could probably do about three or four hours.
You know, it's fun.
Reminiscing.
You know, the most part with Mac, you know, like say we met junior high playing basketball against each other, and that was a lot of fun over those years. You know, all through, you know, in high school, and he played over at West too. And those were good times, you know. Radio was good.
Oh, gosh. I tell people that in the early days at KEYN, where I was, WKRP in Cincinnati. They didn't even scratch the surface.
Oh, no.
We did crazy stuff.
That was the best part. You know, radio was...
But you know, you really got established, Cake, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But you got there at KKRD when they were just starting to fly, didn't you?
You know, over
and
at...
They did so well.
KKRD, and it took us a while to talk new owner, Barry Casey, actually, is the guy who did that.
The late Barry Casey.
And yeah. Barry talked the people over there into putting on a top 40 station. We all get hired to go over there to put on a top 40 to actually go against KUYN at that time in KLEO. And we were there probably about 2 weeks, and they sold the radio station. And we're going, okay, what's going on? And the guy who bought the station, all of a sudden, by the time it took about 3 months, 6 months before we could do anything because we were in limbo during the sale. So we were still a really soft AC station. And we're all ready to put on this top 40. We've got all the stuff ready. We're ready to go. The ratings come out, and we just killed it. In the AC world, we were number one in women and things. So the guy that owns the station is going, oh, you guys aren't going to change this. We're going to do the same thing. And we did that for a couple of years, did really well. And then we kept talking to him, hey, we can do a lot better, make more money doing this. And he gave us the go-ahead to do it.
That's a little unusual because in radio, a lot of times the owners come in and they already know better.
Yes.
And they change. They always fix what's not broken. So
they do.
At any rate, what is it about the radio that's the best for you? Is it the music for you?
You know, the excitement. I always love the music. You know, still do. It's always interesting to find out what people like, what they don't like. I love the chess game of radio to try to make the radio station the best against any other radio station in town, doing things like that. But the most interesting part is helping people. And it is the best part about radio when you can do something on the air to help people. And it can be the smallest things, and it can be some really big things. So many charities we've helped over the years, from big and small. But to individual people, I remember one time at KKRD, there was a little girl, and they had a story about her in the news. And she was going to school. And she lost her saxophone. And so, I mean, you know, saxophones cost a little bit of money and everything. So I had a friend of mine who was the head of Arista Records at that time where Kenny G was. And I called up Rick and I said, Rick, how about getting Kenny to give this girl a new saxophone?
Having Kenny do it, you know? Kenny G.
Yeah. And he said, hey, that's a great idea. I said, okay, can you set that up? He says, yeah. So they did. And we had a lot of fun with it. Had Kenny on the phone and everything. And he gave her a brand new saxophone. And then when he came to town during the concert, he got to meet her and talk to her and everything like that. But, you know, and that's just an individual deal that you do. But, you know, also just raising food, you know, for people, coats, hats, you know, scarves.
This is my next question about all the promotions that some of them that you've been proud of. You just told us about a good one. And that. Mm-hmm. Listeners don't understand sometimes that, yeah, we do get to touch a lot of people in a very positive way.
Mm-hmm, that is
help.
True.
We get to help, like you said.
You know, and we gave away back in those days, which radio stations do things differently these days, but we gave away cars, of course, all the time.
Yeah.
We gave away two houses, you know.
We did that at one of our stations.
You know, yeah, which was amazing. You know, a whole house for somebody that's worth, you know, over $100,000 in Wichita. And we had just fun with those types of promotions. Started the Wichita Women's Show years ago, and it was so big with so many people at the Women's Show, they had to close down Century 2. One of the things that we did, it was great, Mac. We did break dancing was such a big deal.
Yeah.
We did the Kansas State Break Dancing Championships is what we called them. Had no idea why. That sounded good.
Yeah.
And we had kids from all over the state come in and do it. And we did it at Town East Square when they had
the stage
pavilion out there. Yeah. Yep. And so many kids showed up. We had over 15,000 kids. They were standing at the corners to take the buses in. The buses were full. They started throwing rocks at the buses because they'd come by and not stop because they're already full. And then once all the kids got there, you could actually feel the floor shaking.
Yeah.
And so we had to close the deal down. We had to close Town East down that
day. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, just some strange ones.
You know, if you've worked with a lot of Airtown over the years, like mentioning a couple of your favorites.
Yeah. You know, I had so many really
about
great
Rump,
people.
We both, I worked with Rump for a while.
Gene was just one of my favorite guys. Learned a lot of radio from him. You know, he was really good. You know, Gene was the guy who brought the fireworks to Wichita doing the big show. Basically, it was for the bicentennial.
Yeah.
But after it was so good at the football field at Wichita State, Cessna Stadium at that time, it was so good that we decided we'll just do it every year. And lots of other, you know, just fun promotions over the year. When we got over to KKRD, Buck Weatherby, the general manager, is a great guy, and he loved promotions. He was fun, no. You know, type
well,
of
having a manager work. Like that is so helpful to air talent.
It was just, you know, he was just kind of like one of you doing all that. Mm. Of course, you know, Barry Casey, one of my best buddies, and very interesting. Very interesting person.
He was a music mind.
Oh, he was. And he could hear so well. I mean, he could, you know, hear the pin drop and things like that. Who was great. Lyman James, you know.
Yeah.
Another guy. I could go through that whole staff over at KKRD and just guy after guy after guy. And, of course, Don Hall.
The late Don Hall.
Come over, and Don and I end up working together probably 30, 35 years,
yeah.
You know, at a couple of different radio stations. So, and then, you know, it was always interesting. You and I always worked against each other all those years in one sense. And then we finally got together over there at when we were on 37th Street.
With KNSS.
KNSS, yeah.
You gave me a job twice over there, remember?
Yeah.
Part-time. Well, I'm always eternally thankful. That's the second part of my career has been outstanding for me. And I owe a lot to you.
You know, but that
give
just
me
goes,
a break, you know.
That just goes back to things changed in the right direction. Same thing in the news. Even though there's, you know, less people out there covering things, you guys do a great job. And but the way everything melted together, that turned out good. An all news station. Wow.
But, yeah. Hey, what are the biggest changes in radio over the years? You mentioned a while ago. Social media is huge, a huge change.
You know, that's one of the biggest changes. You know, we used to get over 1,000 requests a day at the radio station, phone calls.
Yeah.
And nowadays, phone calls to radio stations, you're talking, you know, 20, 30, you know, 40 phone calls type of deal in a day. And it's because people are into texting, they post it on social media. So many different ways to contact us. To get things done, and that's one of the amazing things that's changed so much. The way you play music, you get music all
where that. Are we going to get air talent for the future? I don't see a lot of kids wanting to get into this.
You know, really, if you watch YouTube, okay, because everybody wants to be a YouTube star that are younger as opposed to being a disc jockey, but there are some very good people on there, very funny, very thoughtful. Because there's, you know, the blogs, the people they do, the podcast and all this and that. And I think lots of people will come from that way, but it'll change a little bit more as opposed to just moving some music or news.
You know, you are understandably proud of your Native American heritage. Tell me about that.
Oh, yeah. My mother was Chickasaw native down in Oklahoma, Ada, Oklahoma. And it's one of those things throughout our life, you know, in our family and stuff like that. Not just followed what's going on and be aware out there. But I've been on the board of directors over 10 years at the Wichita Indian Museum now. And it's just been one of those things to bring people together to learn about the culture. And most people have grown up on TV and movies and cowboys and Indians that way. And they would have to learn there's so many different things that happen. Not all Indians rode horses and shot bow and arrows.
Amazing
days.
History.
Yeah.
And, really.
And in Wichita, a great history here.
Right in the middle of it.
Yeah, so makes it fun.
So I think I already know the answer to this one, but how important is family to you, Jack?
Oh, you know, I tell you.
You've had a good run with your marriage, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, Jan and I have been married, I'd have to go back and remember. How many years?
Come on,
you know,
now.
Going up there 48, 49 years, somewhere like that, you know. And but it was always, even when we were kids, you know, the family deal was really big. My dad had 8 sisters and 3 brothers, but they were never super close because it was spread out over 20 years. And during those days, you know, depressions, World War II and all that, everybody spread out so much.
Yeah.
So we always really stuck together, me and my brothers. And same thing with the family now. My one son, Jason, of course, from Washington, D.C., and he'll be back here in just a few days for Christmas. He has three children. They'll all be in. My other son lives here in Wichita, over in Riverside.
Right.
Everybody. And, of course, he has three children and his wife, and we just hang out all the time. I love watching the kids play sports, you know, because it's one of those deals in my mind I can still play, but my body, no, don't think so much. But it's tremendous fun.
I'll tell you, you're like me. You've just gotten better over the years.
That's right. That's right.
In your own mind, anyway. You know? Well, listen, hey, that's what we could do. Like I said, we'd do a couple more hours, but we're out of time. I appreciate it, because I've learned a few things about you, Jack, and I just want to say we appreciate all you've done. The community appreciates it, because, like you said, we get a chance to help out down there.
That's you know, that is. And believe me, radio, that's still the best thing about it is, you know, mentioning things. It's helping small businesses, everything about it.
All right. Our guest, veteran Wichita radio personality, Jack Oliver. That's all for this edition of Issues 2022. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.